Please rise for the reading of the Word of God. The part which we'll focus on this morning is today's Old Testament lesson, which is taken from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. To set this up a little bit, we've had the big confrontation between Elijah and the false prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. God has sent rain on the land. Elijah has gone into depression, ran down to Mount Horeb, where God appeared to him with the earthquake, wind, and fire. Nope, with a still, small voice. Then God sends Elijah back with a task. And one of his tasks is what we're going to read about here. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his attendant. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. As we begin the sermon this morning, I'm going to do some speculating as to what might have been in the mind of Elisha that day. Speculation, hopefully good. But put yourself into the shoes of Elisha as he's out there plowing. You had never seen such devastation. The drought had lasted for 3 long years. No rain at all. And not even any dew. Plants withered, died. Hillsides, which should have been covered with grass, was dirt with a few little tufts of weeds sticking up here and there. If you had any animals left, they were gaunt and sickly. Families had been ruined. People had to flee the land because they were looking for water, looking for food. Animals went hunting water anywhere they could find it. The land was a mess. Oh, but now God had sent rain. Elijah was a part of it. There was the big confrontation there at Mount Carmel. And boy, Elijah showed him. No. God showed him. Yeah, Baal. Supposedly the god of the rain. Supposedly the god of the storm. 3 years of praying to Baal and nothing happened. But when Elijah stepped up and prayed to the true God, the rains came. Maybe this will be the time. Maybe this will be the time my fellow Israelites will give up on this Baal worship garbage and come back to Yahweh, the true God. Maybe this will be the time. Oh, but boy, it sure feels good to be back out plowing the land again. I couldn't even plow the land last year. It was so dry, it was like a rock. But now, the earth is turning. Crops are going to be able to be grown again. People are going to be able to buy food. They're going to be able to eat. Families might even be able to prosper like I've prospered. Oh, it was hard. The drought hit everybody. But God was so gracious to us. We have 12 yoke of oxen. That is an unheard of luxury. Almost everyone else lost all of their animals. We have 12 yoke oxen. Families are going to come to us for years to come to hire our oxen to come and plow their fields. The family business is in great shape in spite of all that's happened. Maybe because of all that's happened. But I don't know. Is this really what I'm here for? Farming is a wonderful, wonderful vocation. Farming is a wonderful gift of God. But I just wonder, does God have something more in store for me? Well, I know. I'm here to grow in the Word of God. I'm here to share the Word of God with others. I know. I'm trying to do that. I'm going to keep trying to do that. I just wonder. Yeah, I got to get my hand back. Okay. Focus now, Elisha. Focus. I got to make sure that these oxen are plowing straight. I got to make sure that these furrows are going straight so they don't go over one another. And what? What in the world just happened? That guy just threw his cloak over me. And from what I've heard, that guy looks like Elijah. And maybe that little bit of speculation helps us to get into the mind of Elisha on a day that would become for him one of the most amazing days of his whole life, when his life would change in an incredibly dramatic way. Now, for us to get it, one of the things we have to understand is what the throwing of the cloak over the shoulders was about. In that culture, that was a way of saying, you are going to be my successor. So the king would take off his cloak and put it on his son to say, this is going to be the new king. Or the aging prophet would put it on the new prophet. So Elijah is saying to Elisha, you're going to be the next main prophet in Israel. And it's interesting, we don't have any idea if Elijah and Elisha had ever met before. This may have been the first time they met. And what does Elijah do? Elijah comes by, and the way the text reads in the Hebrew, Elijah seems to have put his coat on Elisha and just kept on going. He doesn't even stop. Because Elisha has to run after Elijah and catch up to him. Hey, wait a minute. Is it all right if I go back and say goodbye to my parents? Yeah, sure. What have I done to you? Which would seem to be Elijah's way of saying, this is a call not from me. This is a call from God. And if your conscience says, yeah, it's totally okay to go back and say goodbye to my folks first, go back and say goodbye to your folks. It's fine. And so Elisha goes back. And what a goodbye. He's not going back. Not to his former life anyway. He burns the plowing equipment, slaughters the oxen, cooks the oxen, feeds it as a feast to the people, which you can only imagine how grateful they must have been. Many of them had probably not eaten meat in several years. And off he goes to follow Elijah. How much time did he have to make that decision? It was like instantaneous. And I look at that, and I hope you do too, and I just say, wow. Could I have done that? Would I have done that? Would I have been willing to totally leave behind my home, my livelihood, my family, everything I had known in order to be a full-time worker in the Lord's kingdom? I have done that? If the Lord came to you and me today and said, sell your house, sell your car, get rid of your smartphone. Yeah, even the smartphone. Get rid of your computer and come be a full-time worker. Could you do it? Give up your job. Give up your schooling. Wow. I think most of us, me included, would really, really struggle with that. Which leads us to understand, oh, how tightly we are tied to the things of this world. Aren't we? We are so tightly tied to our stuff. To our cars, our houses, our clothes, our careers. And all of it's going to burn up when Jesus comes back. And yet we're tied to it improperly and selfishly. Just like those Old Testament Israelites deserved God's judgment, so do I. And so do you. Oh, isn't that what makes Lent oh so beautiful? In Lent, what do we come face to face with? We come face to face with the reality that we need a Savior and that we have a Savior. That we have a Savior who never, ever, ever misused the things of this world, who always kept the things of this world in proper perspective, who always used the things of this world for eternal purposes, and even more, was willing to go and lay down his life for people like you and me. And when he laid down his life for people like you and me, he won for you and me a treasure, an eternal treasure, so much more than anything this world can possibly offer to us. He gives it to you and to me. The world can't give you forgiveness, but Jesus can. The world cannot give you eternity, but Jesus can. The world cannot give you a really lasting purpose. But Jesus can. The world cannot give you an answer to death. But Jesus has. He's given those things to you and to me. So that by the amazing grace of God, we have so much more than what the world could ever give us. And you know, when I'm reminded of that the most, or what helps me remember that perhaps the most starkly, is when I'm standing at the graveside of someone who has died. When I was a pastor, I got to do lots and lots of funerals. I shouldn't say lots and lots. I got to do funerals. Professors at the seminary don't do funerals. This will sound strange. I miss it. Why would you miss doing a funeral? Because at a funeral, every person who's there gets this wonderful spiritual gut check in regards to what really, really matters. As I look at that person who's there in the casket, what's the only thing that really matters? It's whether they believed in Jesus. Right? Because if they believed in Jesus, that means their life was meaningful and purpose-filled and glorious, and now they're enjoying the glories of heaven. But if they weren't a believer, oh man, how empty their life becomes how purposeless and pointless their life is. And by the grace of God, brothers and sisters, when people stand at your graveside and at mine, by God's grace, they will be able to say, this one had a meaningful, purpose-filled life because this one was a believer in Jesus. This one let his or her faith be known by the way they lived, by the way they talked, by the way they acted. This one was a believer in Jesus. And because this one was a believer in Jesus, this one's life was full of purpose, full of meaning. That's your life, my brothers and sisters. Because God has given that to you. And so doesn't it make perfect sense that like Elisha, we would want to spend our life in service to the God who has given us all that we really need? Of course that makes sense. So now, no, let's be careful. I'm not saying that every one of you should go out and sell your home and quit your job and start studying to be a pastor, teacher, or staff minister. If a few of you want to do that, fantastic. But God also says that he gave some to be pastors, teachers, and ministers. He didn't say he gave all, just some. But what God does want from every one of us is that his work be number one. That his work take number one priority in our lives. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Because you took number one priority in his life. Lent tells us so. Oh, so clearly, doesn't it? And so, yes, we're going to open our wallets and give generous offerings. Yes, we're going to say no to temptations from the devil. And yes, to doing our best to live our lives the way Christ would have us live. Yes, we are going to seek to share Christ with the people who are around us, our friends, relatives, neighbors, coworkers, both with our words, our actions, our attitudes, because God has given us so much more. I don't know what Elisha was thinking that day when Elijah came by. We speculated. It's all right. This much I know. God had convinced Elisha that ultimately God was everything he needed. Thank God, my brothers and sisters, that God has convinced you of exactly the same truth. Amen. Amen. Amen.